Hello, I'm Ezekiel McAdams. Welcome to the Saskatoon Fringe 2016 podcast, episode 4 or day 2 of the Fringe. Today I saw Rat Tales by Shadow Players Productions, I saw Falling Awake, I saw Peach, and finally Charlatan. This was good. I'm actually kind of annoyed because I'm hoping for just one really bad Fringe show. No, I don't mean that. I want all the Fringe to be good. And what was great about today was that there was children's theater, and so Rat Tales was basically a rat's version of like classic fairy tales or urban legends or even kind of morality plays. So that was really neat, and it was just fun. Like, I mean, it's a kid's show. What do you expect? I'm not saying that as a detriment. It's just, I think you have to put it into context. You can't go and see a show that's specifically designed for children and go, well, you know, it didn't have this, it didn't have that. And I noticed a lot of my fellow writers and reviewers have done that in the past, and I think it's kind of unfair. Because if you watch a show with kids, and the first two kids shows I saw yesterday, Hubby in Distress and The Fabulist, the kids ate it up. Like, some of the stuff I was just like, okay, I don't find that funny, but the kids were laughing. And that's the whole point. I mean, they're the target audience, so you gotta remember that. So for what it was, I enjoyed Shadow Players. I don't like rats. I actually have a bit of a fear and phobia of them, so I was really glad they weren't in like the full makeup and costume and stuff. It was good. Again, not to be biased, as I've said on previous podcasts, but my friend Hope Larson was in it, and honestly, I thought Hope was the best of the ensemble. Everyone was good, but Hope just stood out. She was able to have a little more range and be a little diverse with the character she was playing. And she also had like the smallest screen time. And honestly, I mean, the Rat Tales could have had more Hope Larson. So that's Rat Tales. It was directed by Kelsey Moser. It's good. It's enjoyable. Like, all three kids' Fringe shows have been good. I mean, Hubby in Distress was funny because Charles Sneed was so bombastic and over the top that it was wonderful. And The Fabulist by Jeffrey Popiel was good, and I think kids will get a kick out of it, and I think kids will get a kick out of Rat Tales. So honestly, if you have children, I would take them to all the shows, all three shows that I mentioned. So after that, I went and saw Falling Awake. Falling Awake thus far, and again, like, just let's keep it real, guys. This is like the second day of the Fringe Festival. This is like the fourth or fifth play I've seen. So we have to keep that in mind. But honestly, Falling Awake was my favorite Fringe show thus far. It was everything the Fringe is meant to be. It was absurd. It was surreal. There was performance art. The performers were very physical. It's just, and it's something you will never see again. Like, and people will either get it or they won't. Like, some people will go to the show based on strong reviews, such as myself and other people, and they'll be like, what the hell did I just see? And they will be scratching their head. That show, it's not designed for you. But if you like theater, and especially Fringe festivals, this show is unlike anything you'll ever see. I mean, it was about a woman who was kind of dreaming awake, like daydreaming about her dead lover, and just the amount of physical stuff that both of them were able to do was just amazing. And she was just really funny and quirky and really endearing, or at least endearing to me, that I was like transfixed the entire show. And I'm worried about saying her name on the podcast because I don't want to pronounce it wrong. That's kind of like a pet peeve of mine, so I'm just going to leave it. But they were just great. So thus far, as of Friday, it's Friday, the 29th. There we go. Jolene was telling me. I have an audio friend, and she was giving me pointers about the podcast. Hey, Jolene, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I will not try to say the U word again. But that was Falling Awake. Then I saw Peaches by Oh My God Productions, and it's written and directed by Daniel Roy, who is a friend of mine, and performed by Alex Hartshorn. This was really, really good. Like, it was funny, it was charming, it was quirky. Alex was able to deliver Daniel's dialogue really well, but also be really physical in her body movements and stuff. And it just, it was a very, very good show. Like, the writing was very sharp. I loved the dialogue. I liked some of the devices that Danielle employed throughout the show. So, for example, so the story about Peach is, it's about this woman, you know, who's named Peach, obviously, and she has fallen for this guy, and she is just having kind of sexual misadventures. She's trying to become more confident in her body and stuff. And so the boyfriend, like, stand-in is like a mannequin. He's got like a TV screen on his head, and at various parts of the play, he'll kind of talk, and his voice will be kind of like muffled, like distortion. And it's really neat. And at one point he gets mad at Peach, and it's just like kind of like background noise, but like really high pitched background noise. And I thought that was really effective. It was really good. And it's something that, like, I was writing my review when I got home, and I was trying to kind of say words, and I just couldn't do it. So I had to cut it out. Sorry, Danielle. But that was one of my favorite parts, was just the TV mannequin boyfriend. Which, by the way, if you're looking for band names, I personally think that's a good band name, TV Mannequin Boyfriend. I don't know. That's just me. So Peach was really good, and they had a really good marketing campaign. They had like a little bucket at the end of the show where you could get like a little package of peaches, and some of them were shaped like hearts, which was really kind of awesome, because the play was this big, dripping, gooey, quirky heart. It was lovely. So that was Peach by Oh My God Productions, and written by Daniel Roy and starring Alex Hartshorn. And finally, I went and saw Charlatan. Charlatan comes from Vancouver magician Travis Bernhardt. This one I was a little scared, so I was saying in the previous podcast for the Fringe Preview Night. So Travis and Chris, they're performers from Vancouver, and they emceed the preview night, and they were really good. Like, they had a great dynamic, and they were able to be able to kind of improv and riff and kind of keep the show together. And it's just a really hard job. Like, people who don't do a lot of emceeing or public speaking or even performing, if you're not an actor, you don't understand. It's not as easy as it looks. And so I was excited about that, but I was scared. So yeah, Travis is like emceeing, but he's also a performer in the festival. So he's pitching his like 2-minute version of Charlatan, and he's talking about how it's got like death in it, and it's like very audience participation heavy, and I'm not a fan of that. Like, in fact, I was at Diamond Girls last night, and Malia came up to me, and like in character, she played 22 characters. Like, if you haven't listened to the last podcast, by the way, go see Diamond Girls, it's great. And she came up to me and she's like, "Do you want to dance?" And I was like, "No, I don't." Like, I just was so scared, because it just took me out of the moment. Like, I was all of a sudden part of the play, and like, that's my biggest fear. It's so funny. Honestly, that just terrifies me, having to be part of the show, right? I don't like that. I'd rather just hide and experience it from a corner, but not be involved. And so I actually like went up to Travis. I found him on the street and bothered him. I was like, "Please, like, I'm reviewing your show. Do not put me in the show." And like the whole evening, like, it's an hour production, right? I was just like on pins and needles, hoping that he remembered who I was. And he's like, "Don't pick that guy. Don't pick that guy. Don't pick that guy." Like, it was great. What I really liked about Charlatan is that whether or not Travis has any psychic abilities, and I don't know the guy personally, I don't really know much of his background, so I could just go off from what I experienced in the show, it was engaging. This is a guy that has such a great physical presence on stage. Like, I've seen him twice now, and he's so good. Like, it's almost effortlessly. And he was saying that he has anxiety, and he probably does, but I mean, it certainly did not come across during the show. Like, it just, he was able to kind of have bits where he was like doing what I think a lot of people would say cold reading when it comes to psychic predictions and stuff, and you're kind of just, you're gauging the audience basically, and you're kind of throwing stuff out. But it was more than that. It wasn't really cold reading. That's the wrong word to use, because he was like pulling things from what appeared to be thin air, but he was obviously getting it from somewhere. And some of it would fall flat. Like, there was this one guy, and it was just Roberto. Roberto was, like, a name that Travis kept hanging on to. And nobody would admit to a Roberto if there was a Roberto in the audience. And Travis just kind of, he was able to let it go. And he made a joke and said, you know, sometimes I'm wrong, guys. And just, it was funny. And the way he handled the audience was really classy, and he made people feel really comfortable. And at the end of the hour, even though I was like on like an anxiety throne, hoping that Travis didn't pick me, I was thoroughly entertained and I was thoroughly engaged. The only problem with a show like Charlatan or any other show that's very audience participation heavy is it's really impossible to do an accurate review of, because every show is different, because every audience is different, and you really kind of have to put that in there. You can't just say, well, I saw Charlatan really great, it was like a 5-star play, or it was like a 2-star play, because you might go on another day and it's a completely different performance. So that's one thing you should take away. But honestly, it's worth the price of admission. He just, as a performer, it's just really, really good. And you'll be entertained. You may be like me, you may be sitting on like an anxiety throne and hoping that he doesn't pick you, but you will be at least entertained. And I think you will be surprised by some of his predictions. I know I was. So that was like day two of The Fringe. I really, really enjoyed all the plays I saw last night. I'm excited for tomorrow, because tomorrow is a Saturday, and I can hopefully, if I'm lucky and daring enough, I can see about 6 shows back and forth. Unfortunately, I didn't do a lot of like vendor looking or looking at the buskers yesterday. There just wasn't time. The Rat Tails was at 12 o'clock, and then I basically hit all 3 shows back to back, and I was with my friends. So I saw like Falling Awake, and I saw Peach, and then Charlatan. So I really didn't get a chance to go to any of the food trucks. I didn't really get a chance to see any of the local artists or other vendors. So, but it was nice. The crowds looked good for a Friday, which was really impressive. And it's just, I think I said this again, and sorry, you know, just at the point at nauseam, but I love Fringe. It really is like a holiday. It's like Christmas. My friend Shelby calls it Fringemas. And it really is. It's just great. And I'm excited for tomorrow. I don't have a sense of what I'm seeing, just because I haven't figured it out yet. But I'm just hoping for more live theater. That is just awesome. Any day that I get to see live theater, and it's just wonderful. So we're going around 13 minutes. I think that's enough. I kind of feel like I'm missing something, but I talked about all the shows that I've seen. Bushel and Peck. I have not seen it yet as of this podcast, but I've heard that Bushel and Peck is fantastic. It's like David Lynch-esque. Everyone's throwing away the word Minions. I've heard that's like the wrong kind of adjective and like almost nomenclature verb to use, that really it's more David Lynch. Like I think one of the performers is from Jamesy, and I think he's doing a disservice by saying it's like Minions, because a lot of people don't like Minions. I know I'm personally not a fan, so if I thought it was a Minions-esque show, I mean, I would go because I have to see all the shows, but I wouldn't be looking forward to it. But David Lynch, that gets me excited. So I'm hoping to see Bushel and Peck. The one show that I'm really, really, really excited about is the Gay Card, that's done by the Saskatoon like sexual theater space. So I think I'm seeing that Tuesday, maybe, but I don't know. My big plan for tomorrow is to see as much shows as possible, to hopefully enjoy every single show. Man, that'd be great if like 2 days in a row or 3 days in a row, it was like a perfect Fringe day. And I think I'm going to get some mini donuts, and I'm going to eat at Pierogi Pirates or whatever it's called. There's also Dapper Dog, and I like that name so much that I want to eat there. So anyways, this is Ezekiel McAdams signing off for day 2 of The Fringe. Anyways, you can email me at SaskatoonFringe2016podcast if there's anything you think I've missed or something you want to hear me talk about. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.